Monday, January 20th, 2014. This is the Sales Playbook Podcast. I am your host, Paul Castain, from YourSalesPlaybook.com, and this is the podcast for sales reps, sales leaders, and business owners who want to sell more. Now, this week, we're going to be talking about a little something that I like to call how to transition your social network from virtual to real time. Now, I'm going to tell you, I think seriously, without sounding too arrogant or full of myself or anything like that, it's not my intent, this might be one of the most important episodes of the Sales Playbook Podcast, because I know for a fact many of you have a real challenge with moving these all these connections and friends and followers and all that off of your screen where it's virtual into real time, as in like a phone call or face-to-face. And let's all just kind of start with a little bit of a group amen on something. I'm hoping that we could agree on this, that these relationships to you are so much more valuable once you've had an opportunity to quote-unquote get in front of them. So we're going to get going on that in a minute, but I do want to let you know that this episode of the Sales Playbook Podcast is sponsored by our online sales course, and I'm going to be sharing details about that at the end of the podcast. Now, you guys know how I like to roll. I don't like spending 3 years telling you about what we're going to be talking about. We're going right for it right now. So here's the first thing. When we talk about this business of how to transition this social network that you have kind of from the screen, from that computer screen into real time, the very first thing that I want you to write down, even if you want to say duh after I say it, please humor me on this one. Timing is essential. One thing I absolutely would not do that many of you do, unfortunately, because I know because I'm on the receiving end of your invites, many of you kind of go right from that point where you have accepted a connection, or in many cases, the other person has accepted your invite. I would not, right in that moment, say the essence of, hi, let's get on a phone call. And I know you're going to say it a lot nicer than that. That's just me being a dope. But I would not do that. There's a lot of reasons why. And let me just lay it out for you. First of all, they really don't know you, or certainly they really don't trust you enough to invest the time and take the risk in jumping on a call. Now, you might be saying, oh, come on, Castain, lighten up. I mean, you know, what are we talking about here? We're not talking about asking them for a loan or asking them some kind of intimate question here. We're just talking about jumping on a phone call. Well, let me just kind of point something out to you. Do you think these people have been burned before? Because I do. I know I've been burned. I'm sure you have too. I mean, haven't we all been kind of on the receiving end of something where it became very clear that somebody had an agenda, and all of a sudden now we're on a call, literally, just kind of like days after we've quote-unquote connected, and now we're on the just the receiving end of a bad sales pitch. And that was their plan all along. So people have been burned with that. So you just got to be very, very careful. Like I said, I think you may not realize this. I know, I'm sure it's not your intent, and again, I don't mean to be disrespectful. Some of you, it is your intent, but your that little message to kind of get on a phone call or meet for a coffee, it really does reek of a sales pitch. Also, too, I want to tell you, sorry, I know that I'm kind of an odd duck like this and kind of a complex carbohydrate, but I think it can get weird if, like, right away, there you are, right? Just hi, let's get together. So I want you to be very, very careful of that. Now, on the other side of this, I'm not implying at all that this needs to take 7 years to get to the point where we could kind of get on a phone call. Man, I'll tell you, that's going to kill us in sales and kill us in our LinkedIn and Twitter and Google Plus and Facebook efforts. I do want to tell you though, it is very important that we court them a little bit first. And so these things that I'm about to tell you now, I'm going to go into like the how you can do that. This is all going to set you up for a painfully easy process in how to transition them from the computer screen into real time. Again, real time being a phone call or a face meeting with them. But this other stuff, it really needs to happen first. And I do want to tell you something, seriously. These things that I'm about to tell you right now, I just didn't pull out of thin air. I didn't just figure, hey, what the heck? You know what I mean? Maybe these things will work. I have tested these in my little like social networking laboratory now for 5 years. So I know it works. I know where I failed just epically. And I want to share it with you right now. So there's some things that I want you to do to set yourself up for this transition that I'm going to share with you in a little bit. So right from the time you connect with people, and you've heard me give this advice before, I want you to, first of all, acknowledge that connection and thank them for it, whether you have reached out to them to connect or they have invited you. There is no downside in you being gracious. And I'm also here to tell you that I would say a solid 97-98% of the people that I come in contact with on especially LinkedIn, number one, they don't even actually write you an invite. They just use that lame template on LinkedIn. If we were to just go on a mild rant, please don't use that. You're better than that. Write someone an actual note. To me, that template is the equivalent of walking over to somebody and grunting at them. It's just dicky. I would not do it. Seriously. Yes, I said dicky on my podcast. My podcast. I'm allowed to say that. But seriously, once you have connected with them, send them a thank you email. And in that, this is just a very, very specific email that I sent out. What I would do is then just kind of first paragraph, thank them, something very specific to them. Remember, people have names, use them, not a bad thing. I know human relations 101, but wouldn't be telling you this stuff if everybody was doing it. Then what I would do is just say, here are some of the other places where we can connect on Twitter. And then I put a link to my actual profile. Why? Because you and I both know that people are lazy. If you just put your handle there, do you really think they have all this time to just go and try to look you up? Make it clickable. Hyperlink that bad boy, right? It's same low, low price. I would do that. I would just put all your different places where you hang out. Not a bad thing to do. Now, I want to tell you why I do this. Again, sorry, this isn't new ground for us, but repetition is the mother of skill. And it's kind of how your Uncle Paul likes to roll, getting you guys all these cool lessons. I want you to own it. The reason why we want to expand to other social networking platforms, number one, it is highly probable that the place where you originally connect with someone, they might not be as active there as you would like them to be, and you might miss an opportunity, or certainly as active as they'd like to be. So when I send this out, I've actually had people reply and say, oh, thank you, Paul, because I really don't spend that much time on LinkedIn, but man, I'm all over Twitter, or I'm all over Google Plus or whatever. And remember, just again, a little side note, lots of little lessons for you today, kind of going to be in your face a bit, because I really want these to hit home with you. Brand new year, I want you guys all to kick ass. I want to tell you that when you heard me mention Twitter, or you heard me mention Google Plus or Facebook or whatever, right away, I guarantee you some of you had an opinion. Like you might say, yeah, I don't really get Twitter. I really don't get Google Plus or whatever it is. Remember, nobody cares what you get. They only care what they get. And if they show up and you don't, you miss an opportunity. Which brings us to the next point of why you want to expand to other social networks. I want you to think about it like as if we were all living in a community together. How cool would it be if you were trying to do business with me and you happen to run into me at the movies, right? That could be an opportunity for us to kind of break the ice and have just like a little bit of chit chat. I'm not saying that running into me at the movies is going to close the deal for you, but it's one more time we quote unquote bumped into each other. But then I want you to think about maybe it could be a few days later, a few weeks later, you happen to run into me at your favorite restaurant. Guess what? That could be a quick opportunity to say a very, very quick hello. We've bumped into each other again. But guess what? Maybe you run into me at the supermarket. Now, it could get creepy real fast if we do it the wrong way. But it's very important that we bump into each other virtually too. So I don't want you to underestimate that, because also when they're seeing you and they're kind of watching you from afar and watching how you're interacting with others, it can kind of expedite that whole know, like, and trust thing that everybody likes to quote, by the way, left and right. But I don't think anybody knows really what the hell it means. This is what it means. This is an opportunity to expedite that, because they could kind of watch you from afar and they could kind of quote unquote bump into you. So I think it's very, very important for that. And also, let's never, ever forget the power of the different networks and the protocols and the behaviors that we kind of lean towards on different platforms. For example, Facebook is going to be more of a casual type environment. And we're going to do a quick timeout on that one. This is an area right here, connecting with people on Facebook, that I get a ton of criticism on. And that's fine, because I guess I mean, it would be pretty boring if everybody just agreed with me, right? I want to kind of shake things up a little bit. I'm thinking it's been at least 3 years now. I'm the idiot that's been saying connect with prospects on Facebook. First of all, you should not have anything on Facebook or anywhere that you're ashamed of. If you are, I think you have bigger issues, and it's called bad judgment. I mean, seriously, you're not 15 here, folks. You shouldn't have anything on there, and screw the privacy thing. Don't trust that. You should not have anything that could make you look bad. This is all out there permanently. That's number one. Number two, why wouldn't you take an opportunity for people to get to know you in a more relaxed and kind of business casual environment? And why wouldn't you have an opportunity to get to know them in a business casual environment? There are things on Facebook that you cannot do and not see on LinkedIn. For example, you're not going to see someone on LinkedIn sharing pictures of their new grandchildren, or, you know, talking really about their wedding, or even talking about recipes and stuff. People are going to be like, what the hell is wrong with you? We're here for business, man. This is not working very, very well. But by the same token, when you get all business-like on Facebook, people feel the same way. But you know, Twitter is another environment where, again, you're going to see things in a real brief, quick, rapid-fire environment. I'm also going to tell you that hanging out on things like Twitter also affords other things to you, because you can see what people are saying to that company, right? You could see things that people are saying to your competitors. You can also, and people love to do this next thing, they call it Twitter bitching, where people complain on Twitter. Now, a lot of people are really quick to write that off. So, yeah, see what I'm saying, Castain? Why do I need that? I don't need the play-by-play. And I say, thank you very much. More for me. And more for my students, by the way. You know why? Because I teach my students to listen for that. Because if somebody's complaining, that to me might be a very good opportunity to either know. I mean, I'm thinking that could be a brilliant day to call them to talk about doing business if they're complaining about your competitor that day. Or at the very least, I think a lot of people, and you guys have heard me say this before, everyone has a story and wants to be heard. Why wouldn't you validate that? And while we're on that topic, and then I will end the rant, I promise you, why is it that we were all taught, and you know I'm right about this, from the beginning of time, that when you're meeting with a prospect, a client, and so on, you look around the office for things to talk about, and it's perfectly okay and acceptable to talk about pictures of their kids and plaques on the wall and all that kind of stuff. But the minute people start doing these types of behavior online and showing you what they're most interested in, it becomes play-by-play, or the equivalent of what everybody says, like people tweeting about what they eat for lunch. Yeah, great, man. If you want to talk about like the steak you had, I am there. You want to talk about smoking cigars, dude? I am there. I don't give a damn. It can move toward something else, and that's what we want to do. We want that opportunity to move it towards something else. So it's very, very important that you do that. Now, for those of you who already have connections and people that you're friends with, so on and so forth, let's kind of look at LinkedIn. There is a letter that I send out to my network twice a year. And in the subject line, I simply say, where else can we connect? And the letter's something, and forgive me for paraphrasing my own letter because I don't have it in front of me. I'll say something along the lines, like you, I participate in other social networks. Here are some of the places where you can connect with me. And again, I list them out. And then what I do at the very end, and it's the same thing I do, by the way, in that intro letter when we first connect, I end it with a question. The reason why I end it with a question, there's really a few, but if you want a really cool email tip, end your emails with a question because it inspires dialogue and inspires this little thing that experts call a response and getting answered. And that's probably a pretty cool place for you to be, getting responded to as a sales professional, right? So what I do at the end is I just say, enough about me. Where else can I connect with you? And it just, at the very least, even if they say to me, Paul, you know what? It's just LinkedIn. It doesn't matter. I got an answer. And now I'm not just one of God knows how many people they've connected with. This is right here. We could almost stop the podcast. And I will tell you, based on 5 years of doing this and based on teaching it now for, geez, I mean, in my practice, 2.5 years before that, another year before that, that I was teaching these things that I'm talking about right now, the responses are incredible. That from what I'm hearing and what I'm getting and what I've seen in my own business. This right here is an opportunity for you to stand out, connect, learn things about them that you would never learn about, and have them connect and bond with you also because they want that opportunity. Now, once you've done that, the other thing that you want to do is you've got to start showing up. Too many of you just get a social networking profile for whatever reason, either your boss told you had to, or maybe you see me doing this, or somebody else, yeah, you should kind of do it. And then you do what I did a few years ago, and it was about 5 years ago to be specific. You just kind of wait for something to happen. I don't know what you're waiting for to happen. Hell, I don't know what. I think I kind of thought the world would beat a path to my door. They didn't. I promptly said LinkedIn sucked, and I quit. Seriously, I did. And thank God I went back onto LinkedIn and these other places because I realized that, hey, I really didn't give it an honest effort. I basically just threw up a real quick profile, joined a few groups or whatever it is, and that was it. I mean, you've got to show up. So here's a couple of real easy things that you can do to show up. And actually, before we do that, it's very important that you know why you want to show up. I'm sure you know, but let me just put on my Captain Obvious case because Captain Obvious cape, not case. See, this is what happens, folks, when I do more than two margaritas before recording these podcasts. My apologies. I might be like weeping by the time we're done with this if I have another margarita. Who knows? But anyway, seriously, you know, you want to show up to your network because that expedites the know, like, and trust thing. They're seeing you. They're observing you. They're interacting with you. But you can't do those things if you sit on the sidelines. So one of the things that I would do, the status updates, man, that is such a cool place and an underutilized opportunity for you. Let me throw a few status updates that I do that are a little bit different than the ones that you guys probably read. The very first one of the day, it's corny, but I'm telling you, people take me up on it and I stand out. Those of you who follow me, you know what I'm going to say right now. On Twitter, I do this, and I especially do this on LinkedIn as well. I'll put, good morning, how can I help someone today? Or, happy Friday, who can I help today? Or, how can I help you today? And it's very interesting. When I first started doing it, man, you could hear the crickets, man. There was like nothing. But I knew in my heart, man, this was a different way of starting off, like positioning myself as a resource, positioning myself as someone who was helpful and not just spewing like this fire hose of stuff that people just throw out there on the social networking platforms. And what's nice about it too is that it also gives me an opportunity to demonstrate my expertise because as I was going along, I'm sure there were people observing kind of from afar, anonymously, kind of seeing, hey, is this guy for real? Then somebody would ask a question. They'd say, wow, the guy actually answers. The guy actually helps. The guy actually gives a damn. So you want to do that. That is one of the things you always want synonymous with your personal brand. An image of being helpful. And remember, the residual effect, or the residual benefit rather, of being helpful is that you get a free opportunity to demonstrate your expertise. So that's one of the things that you want to do. The other thing you might want to do is, why don't you think about a few tips that you could put out there to, again, help your network. Remember, we want to be helpful, not salesy, and help your network, and once again, demonstrate that expertise. But in the bigger picture, continuing to show up on this person's radar screen to make it easier to transition from virtual to real time. See, we can't transition until they know who the hell we are. And man, if you look at that stream, it is a fire hose of stuff. It is going a billion miles an hour. So the way that we can kind of separate ourselves from the rest is, number one, be very, very consistent, be very, very helpful, and just remember to continue to show up. I mean, I don't think it really comes any easier than saying it that way. But also, too, there's more to it. You could also put resources out there that you come across. How about doing some matchmaking? And I mean, I'd love to do this on Twitter. Everyone, please meet Joe Jones. Joe Jones, this is everyone. It was a bitch getting them all here, but here they are. I don't say that, but I just, you know, I just like to kind of weave kind of like a tall tale when I'm on these podcasts. But seriously, you could do stuff like that on LinkedIn now. It's pretty cool because you can actually type their name, and much in the same way that we do on Facebook, and they'll see it and you show up on their radar screen. But the point is that you don't want to be blatant about it. You don't want to look like you're really trying to get attention in, again, a real sleazy snake oil type of way. But playing matchmaker is a really cool way to get on that radar screen. Again, you're kind of making them look good. In fact, you might want to put this one in there too. You guys have heard me say this. Our focus with social networking, one of the focuses that we should have is that of making others look like rock stars. I mean, we all need some good press. We all want to look good. We all want to look good to our network. Hell, we all want to look good to other people's networks so that we get the benefit of getting that exposure. And by the way, you can offer that to your network. You ready? You want to know how much it costs you? Free. And the best part, not enough people do that because they're too busy spewing stuff. So that's another way that people are going to want to hang out with you, because you're useful and you make them look good. And by the way, when someone makes you look good, doesn't that kind of condition a behavior of you wanting to hang out with them, so long as, again, they're not creepy and fake about it? So you always want to condition the behavior that you want to see from your audience and from your followers and from your network. So that's one of the things that you can and should be doing. Now, the other thing that you want to do, and this is really, really critical, you want to go and make sure that you're aware of some of the things they're putting out there on their status updates. Because there's so much noise out there, again, it falls, I mean, people are just not being validated. What's happening is that people are just putting these things out there to just have it get swept away in the rapids of stuff. So why don't you be the person that is that friendly face in the crowd that literally looks at them and says, hey, I'll listen to you. Remember, everyone has a story and wants to be heard. You need to be that person in the crowd, that friendly face that raises their hand and says, I'm listening to you. I guarantee you that that behavior that you're about to condition will be phenomenal for your brand, because there's not a lot of people that really listen to other people. In fact, you know, one of the things when I go and I train a team or I'm out giving one of my keynote speeches, one of the things I'll ask the crowd, and I'll say, sorry for the Dr. Phil moment, but I want you to really think about all the people in your life that truly care about you and truly listen to you. And I want you to right now eliminate your mom and dad, right? Eliminate the parents, your brothers and sisters, your significant other, and your kids. Beyond that, who do you have? There's not a lot of people, because everybody is so busy telling their story, they really don't listen to the other story. It's me, me, me. So if you can be that person, and I know this is sales 101, but I'm willing to bet right now that you're not doing this stuff, because really, this is what I see on the social networks. A lot of people broadcasting their stuff and not validating the other people. So my advice here would be, look at their status updates. And what I would do is find opportunities to jump in and comment without being fake or creepy, and again, validate their thoughts. Very, very important. Make them look like rock stars. You know, one of the things, and I kind of meant to say this before, I'm sorry, man, I'm going like a million miles an hour here today. One of the things I meant to say before is what you want to do when you connect with people, especially on LinkedIn, you want to take a moment. Obviously, you would be looking at their profile. I would hope that you don't just accept, but you never know. Right? Some people just collect people and they really don't look at who they're connecting with, right? They just want to hit that 10,000 mark or something so they could say that they have all these useless quote unquote connections, by the way. You're really collecting instead of connecting. But when you go and you look at that profile, I want you to just kind of scroll down under their picture. You'll see that there's some information as far as contact. It'll say contact information. Click on that. Some people, if they have a Twitter profile, they will have a link to their Twitter account. Click on that. What I want you to do is just kind of have a look at their Twitter profile. And what I would do is I would create a list. You can create lists on Twitter, and I would mark it private so that other people can't see it, so that this person doesn't know that, like, you just put them in lists. And I'm laughing because, like, imagine, like, if you had like some like really like odd name for it or whatever, it's like people I want to sell soon so I could eat or something like that, or, you know, and even worse. But I'm not going to say what I was just thinking because it would turn it into like an R-rated podcast thing. It wouldn't be very nice. But seriously, man, you could have like these private lists. And in fact, my private list that I have, because I'm a real creative genius like this, I call it BD, which stands for business development. So if it's someone that really I have flagged as someone that I could and want to do business with at some point in the future, I'm putting them on that list. Because now what I can do is I monitor that list, by the way, and I can see what everyone on that list is up to. So now it's very easy. The information comes to me instead of me going to the information and having to hunt it down. Because like you guys, I'm lazy like that. I'm a salesperson, right? Man, I bleed sales. I've been at this forever and I know how it works. I don't have the time for that kind of minutia, and I bet you don't either. But when I have it in kind of a listening station type of thing, man, it comes to me and I could work with it. So now if I see that Jane, this lady that I just connected with, is posting about something that I feel it would be appropriate for me to kind of step in and validate her, or step into a discussion, or if Jane is there doing some of that Twitter bitching I just told you about, man, I could save the day. That could be a pretty cool thing. I could step in and be helpful. So that's one of the tips that I would do. You know, something else that I want to offer. Again, there's going to be a lot of tips for you today. You definitely want to write this stuff down, and you're going to want to circle back to the show notes, which you could find at yoursalesplaybook.com/98, because this is episode 98. What you want to do is, for those of you who are thinking about like the status updates and showing up and saying, I don't have time for that. First of all, I mean, you know how I feel about that. I mean, I have plenty of time for that. And I'm going to tell you why I have plenty of time for that. Because I have no time to make 300 cold calls a week. It is just an ineffective use of my time. Maybe it's good for you, but I do better this way. I warm up every one of my phone calls, which you're going to see at the end of this podcast, how we will transition this into a very warm phone call. One of the things that you can do if you don't have the time and you don't want to hear my sermon about you making the time, use technology. Use technology in your favor. So there's a really cool website that you can use, and I'm going to explain the catch to it in a minute, because some of you might get put off with what I'm about to say. But there's a website, and it's called BufferApp.com. Buffer, B-U-F-F-E-R, app, APP.com. And this, by the way, I want to give credit where credit is due. My buddy Richie DeMarco, also known as the Mayor of Hardware, and he's building a real powerful personal brand, by the way. He shared this with me recently, and I just started dabbling with it in the last week or two. And what's really cool about this is that you could preload some of your social networking things that you want to put out there, like some of those tips that I told you about, maybe some resources, things like that. And you could do it across multiple platforms. Like right now, I'm kind of a newbie with it. I started using it for Twitter a little bit. LinkedIn, I started using it a little bit with it. But now, I want to be very, very clear, because anytime I have ever mentioned preloading things with the use of technology, right away people get very, very put off, as well they should, but you should also hear me out and just understand what my rule is for this. If you're just putting things out there, you could you're setting them up in technology like this, you could quickly become kind of like a robot, right? And that's not good, like a Twitter bot or a LinkedIn bot. And there's nothing social about that. But I have a rule with it. I will use those things occasionally, right? Like when I say occasionally, actually I use them quite often. I'll do it a few times a day. But I have a rule. I will never put something out there on kind of an automated basis without me having an alert set on my phone to tell me to get my ass back in there and respond to people and interact with them. So if I put something out there and you are kind enough to say, hey, Paul, great blog post today on testimonials or whatever, or on Twitter, you guys go and you retweeted or whatever it is, I think it's really important that we actually respond to people, because it's really not social to just ignore people, and it really isn't social if you become this bot. So I don't want you to think that what I'm suggesting here is like it's a set it and forget it and you never like have the human interaction. That'll actually go against the process that I'm teaching you. This is actually a really social process that I'm teaching you, but it doesn't mean that you can't use some technology hacks in here so that you could show up and be at two places at the same time. There is no shame in doing that, and I would highly recommend you do it. I think it's a great time management thing, quite frankly. You could preload some of these things for the entire week if that's going to work well for you. And those of you like me who are going to be traveling, you could preload some things, you know, because you know that Tuesday, man, I'm going to be, you know, in the air for 4 hours or whatever. You could have some stuff out there. This way, when you land, you can get back in there and you can do the old-fashioned thing people called interacting. How cool would that be? So those are some of the things that you can do on the front end to set yourself up. Now, the other thing that I want you to do, because we're not done yet, you have to continue to get on their radar screen, continue to demonstrate your expertise, continue to stand out from everyone else who connects with people, and then they sit there like, now what, right? You're going to be better than like the bulk of them after this podcast today. The other thing that I want you to do, and you have to circle this, put little arrows that say over here, dude or dudette. And what you want to do is send a resource. Remember, you've heard me say this, but maybe today's the day that you'll do it. Send them a resource every 4 to 6 weeks through your social network. You want to send it through that email, by the way. And sending emails, before I explain this resource thing, sending emails through a social network is very, very smart, because there have been different studies on this, by the way. And I think I always mix it up. It was either Epsilon or Inquiro. I'm sorry, they both sound alike to me, and I always mix it up. It was either Epsilon or Inquiro that did a report or did a study where they found that emails sent through a social network have about a 24 to 26% higher open rate. And it's a no-brainer as to why. People trust you. Very hard to send any kind of virus or anything like that through a social network. So you really need to be taking advantage of that and do that. And it doesn't seem as forward, and it certainly doesn't seem spammy when you do that, provided that you're sending something useful. So let's talk about this. What I do every 4 to 6 weeks, and I'm going to put my hand up right now and say I'm guilty of not following my own advice. I actually just lost like 2 or 3 months where I didn't do this. And I actually have people like writing me, asking me if I disappeared and, you know, hey, what happened to those cool resources? But every 4 to 6 weeks, what I do is I send out a resource through my email, kind of thanking them for being in my network, and I share things like, I mean, people love apps. If you're not passing along good apps that you're finding, send it along. And I don't mean to be disrespectful, but I'm pretty sure by now everyone has heard of Evernote. I don't think you need to send that one. A lot of people are sending that. I mean, you know, that ship kind of sailed about 2 years ago. But find some of the newer apps that are out there that are pretty cool that you've tried out. That's a good one. I mean, if there are industry studies that you think people in your network would find value in, share that. Reports, studies, as I mentioned before. How about cool websites? Things like that. You know, the example that I give quite a bit is that I shared, and this was probably one of the most popular resources I sent out, I had found this website where you can get free conference call lines. I think it was up to, like, I don't know, like 100 or 200 lines or whatever it is, free. I passed that along to my network. Everybody's like, hey, dude, thanks. That was pretty cool of you. I found a search engine that is designed for you, like, especially when you're doing your pre-call planning, that you can search activity on social networks by those people and those companies and your competitors and stuff. I sent that one out to everyone. Everybody was like, again, dude. They all call me dude on LinkedIn. I don't know why. Or sometimes Uncle Paul, which was my maiden name. They'll do that, and they're just really happy because really there's not too much of that going on. And also too, if somebody in my network might be doing like a free webinar or something like that, I want to get back to that concept of making other people look like rock stars. Sometimes I will do matchmaking, say, everyone, here is someone or here are two people that I think you should know and why. And the final thing that I'll do in there, about 2% of the time, is what I'll do actually is follow, and I have a rule. It's called the 98/2% rule. The 98%/2% rule. 98% of the time, the stuff I'm sending you has nothing to do with Paul Castain, Castain Training Systems, YourSalesPlaybook.com. I don't want it to reek of me. I don't want to do that. What I will do, though, 98% of the time, is I'm making it about other things, things from the industry, things that are resources for you, other podcasts that I've found, apps that I've found, reports that I have found, other people that would be useful to you. But then, if I've done that, I take a 2% liberty, and I will. I'm not necessarily going to sell, which would be great if I could, because I now have thousands of people in my network. I really don't want to do that, because a lot of people are going to shut you down for doing that. What I do instead is I'll share a resource that would be from Castain Training Systems or would be from YourSalesPlaybook.com or one of the other communities that I manage through the Sales Playbook type of heading. So that's what I'll do. So now what's happened here? I just want to, like, lay this out. Here's what we've done so far. And then it's going to make the final step just be a cakewalk for you. If you put this work in, it is going to be very easy for you to then transition. What we've done is that we've stood out at hello by actually responding to people and offering other places where we could hang out, right? We've now, number two, hopefully expanded other places and increased the probability of bumping into each other, demonstrating our expertise, another opportunity for us both to see each other from different perspectives that the different platforms offer. Three, the other thing that we're doing is that I'm showing up in your stream again, demonstrating my expertise. We have these opportunities to interact, which is very, very important. We're expediting that know, like, and trust thing. The next thing, number four, I'm standing out because I'm also validating you. I'm not just showing up as me. I'm showing up and I'm putting emphasis on you also. And I'm looking for things where I could step in without being creepy and comment and validate and remembering that you have a story and you want to be heard. Looking for conversation starters, icebreakers, opportunities where you might be complaining about something that I can help you with. It might not be something that I do, but might be something that someone in my network does. And I could play that matchmaker. I'm also standing out because I'm providing value up front and getting back on your radar screen and doing this through these resources that I'm sending you every 4 to 6 weeks. Now, I've just spent 38 minutes telling you how to do something that's going to be painfully simple. Once I've done these things, the final step when you want to transition these relationships is to email at least 3 people a week. That's your minimum, at least 3 people a week from your network. And here's what I want you to do. And I'm going to be silly because I want you, because you're going to remember silly. I want you to get embarrassed. Seriously, I embarrass myself more than 3 times a week. I actually get embarrassed probably 3 times a day before I even leave the house. But 3 times a week, I want you to get embarrassed. As in, I'm embarrassed that I have not reached out to you before this, John, to get to know you. I'm doing this all through an email. I'm sending John an email, and I'm getting embarrassed. John, I've known you now for a while. I am really embarrassed that I have never reached out to you to get to know you. And then here's the next part. Here it is. It's like going into like appointment setting 101, telemarketing 101. And I'm giving 2 options. And I'm saying, how is your schedule for either Tuesday morning, say 10:30 a.m. Eastern time, or perhaps Thursday afternoon, like 3:45 p.m.? How's your schedule? I'd like an opportunity to get to know you. That is it. Now, I worded a bit more eloquently than that, and I'll share with you more specifics and even give you a template that I use for that, if that'll help you. You're welcome for that, by the way. One of the many ways I try to exceed your expectations here on the Sales Playbook Podcast. But what I do then, that's really it. And it's at least 3 times a week that I do that. In fact, what I want you to do before I go into more detail about this, if you like that idea, and if you feel that if you soften these targets and you actually put a little bit of work in showing up, providing value, which is another phrase that people beat to death, but like this is like the real deal here. You actually are providing value to people and showing up and at least where they know who you are, and you're not being spammy or sleazy or trying to hit them with the snake oil pitch, then when you get to this point where you actually say, you know what? I'm embarrassed. I've known you for this amount of time. We've run into each other. Heck, we're on a few social networks together. I've never once reached out to you to say, hey, let's jump on a phone call. You see, now it's natural. Now we've courted them a bit. Now, that phone call, I want to be very clear. This isn't like, aha, gotcha, right? Now, buy from me. Buy my new training course that's coming up. No. Because remember, they're going to have their guard up. You really want to make, and I'm sorry if this is Sales 101, but again, you got to realize, when I'm telling you something Sales 101, it will never be because I have a shortage of material. I mean, like I said, we're at the 41-minute marker here. So clearly, I don't have a shortage of material for you today. If I'm telling you it, it's because I see people that love to tell you they know it, but they haven't done it like, I'm thinking, like ever. So very, very important that you do this. So when you get on the phone with them, you want to make the call about them. Now, here is where I get to kind of shorten this podcast right now. I could easily send this way into overtime into like a 90-minute podcast. Could you imagine that? Man, you guys would hate me by that time. Like, you'd be sick of your Uncle Paul by then. And I don't want to do that. So what I'm going to do, if you're interested, is I'm going to send you it was probably like a 15-page report that I put together a while ago on how you can transition your network from that computer screen to real time where you're on a phone. But what that report focuses on is more on the part of how you prepare for that call after you've done the groundwork that I just told you about today, and what you say once you get on the phone with them so that you don't come across as salesy, and how you could put the spotlight on them. So if you think that there would be value in that for you, what I want you to do, actually, I'm going to put it in the show notes, which again, you could access by going to yoursalesplaybook.com/98. So that is it, man. That is how you do it. I'm hoping that you've been finding value in these tips that I provide for you right here on the podcast, on the blog at yoursalesplaybook.com, in the groups and the communities that I'm putting out there for you. And this is where that little sponsor thing comes into play right now. If you've been following what's been going on week, and if you've been finding value in what we're doing here, you might want to join us for our online sales course, where actually we're going to be talking about how you can marry all these newer things like LinkedIn and Twitter with the traditional things like the phone and snail mail and creative approaches, things like that, because really that's my area of expertise, folks. I don't really believe that all the newer stuff is better than the traditional stuff. And I sure as hell don't believe that the traditional stuff is better than the newer stuff. I think that we have to marry them together, and that's what I teach my clients to do. And that's what we're going to be doing in this course, by the way. There's going to be 8 online sessions that, if you don't know by now, we deliver them live, again, as opposed to dead, because that would be really freaking creepy if I was there dead. Imagine me dead delivering this. I am good, but I am not that good. By the way, be like Walking Dead with Castain. But what we do is we deliver it live, we record it, and within 24 to 48 hours, send out the link, slides and all. So some of you might want some reinforcement. Other people, you might not be able to be there at the day and time that we do this. You go at your pace. That's one of the coolest things about the course. But also, too, we send out reinforcement emails. There are several freebies and little surprises, because I'm really a big advocate of practicing what I preach. And I always talk to you guys about exceeding customer expectations. I always talk to you guys about surprising your customers and stuff. So this is an opportunity for you to experience that as well. But here's the bad news. The bad news is that the deadline is like literally now. By the time you listen to this, we're going to be shutting the doors, slamming them in your face, bolting them shut at 6 p.m. Eastern time on Tuesday. That's going to be the final day, which will be the 21st, because we're literally starting then on Wednesday, the 22nd. So I've got to cut it at that point. I can't take any more enrollments. And no matter how many times I say this, I still end up by pissing off several of you who like to wait till the last minute. I mean, the time's now, guys. I've been talking about this for 2 months. You guys know what I'm capable of doing. You've been here hanging out with me for God knows how long on these podcasts. I mean, 98 episodes I've gone with you. Blog posts, I think I've done 900 of them, been at it 5 years. So if you're finding value in it, imagine how much value you'd find by actually becoming a client. So what I'd love for you to do is circle back to the show notes, which of course you could find at yoursalesplaybook.com/98, because this is episode 98, too shy of episode of 100 episodes, man. Big, big milestone for us. So that's it, folks. There you have it. All useless until you decide to do something with it. And the biggest takeaway that you're going to get today, if you apply these things, is that you can do what the bulk of the people out there are failing to do. They are collecting names. They are getting more followers and just collecting people that they're supposed to be connecting with. These things that I've just told you about, at a minimum, will help you stand out. Nobody is going to say, you know, like if it were me calling you Paul who? You guys know who I am because I show up. I've just taught you how to show up. And finally, it's going to show you how to move these off of your computer screen. You might think that these are valuable relationships on your computer screen. They are to a certain extent, but I will tell you, once they've had a chance to hear your voice and you get to know them on that type of level, I just think it's going to expedite your efforts. And with that, I am Paul Castain from YourSalesPlaybook.com, wishing you an incredible week ahead. Go get them. The Sales Playbook Podcast is a Castain Training Systems production.